The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from HGTV's Garden e-newsletter, Dave's Garden e-newsletter, the Raleigh News and Observer, the Triangle Gardener magazine, the State by State Gardener e-newsletter, and maybe from Terrific Garden Tonics by Jerry Baker. And we'll start with the Raleigh News and Observer by Nancy Brakey. The red berries of hollies are perfect in winter. Decorating the house in the truly old-fashioned way means a trip outdoors, clippers in hand, to take cuttings of holly plants bearing a profusion of red berries. This is a real treat and something that can be enjoyed if you have the right plants in your landscape. Hollies, of course, come in a huge range, and some are far better than others in meeting your need for house decorations in December. And while the foliage is important, berries are more important. Put the two together, and you have a wonderful look for mantels, tabletops, wreaths, and vases. Some hollies are better producers than are others. Some have berries that are clear, bright red. Others have ones that are darker. Some even have gold, yellow, orange, apricot, or blue berries. But red is what we want now. A nice range of hollies provide that. Some have evergreen leaves all winter that make a nice background for the red. Others are deciduous, which allows the berries to stand out alone. I particularly like a deciduous holly named Red Sprite Winterberry. This is a fine plant, just 3 to 5 feet tall, which makes it suited for smaller landscapes. Male and female flowers are on separate plants, so you will need a male plant to accompany Red Sprite, as well as another good deciduous holly, Winter Red. These winter berries will take an area that is damp, which you cannot say about a lot of good landscape plants, but they do require some sunshine. Those who must have leaves to go with the red berries should consider American holly. This is a very handsome but slow-growing plant that becomes, over time, a shapely conical tree. It can reach 40 feet, but perhaps not in your lifetime. Still, if you are looking for an evergreen tree that makes a statement of elegance and beauty in a large space, this is one to consider. The variety Carolina No. 2 is a popular choice. An established favorite among evergreen hollies is Nellie R. Stevens, which can be trained into a beautiful cone-shaped plant that can reach 20 feet. It also makes a good hedge or screen. The berries are bright red and the leaves glossy green. The plant is quite dense, which is why it works so well as an evergreen screen. And now from HGTV's e-newsletter, plants that flower in winter. There's no need to wait till spring for outdoor flowers. Grow a few of these winter-blooming perennials and shrubs in your backyard. Some mahonias, leatherleaf mahonia, and selected cultivars of MX Media bloom in winter. These shrubs are hardy in USDA zones 7 to 9. A close relative, Oregon grape holly, flowers in early spring. The ultra-fragrant flowers of many Daphnes, including Jacqueline Postille, appear in midwinter. And Jacqueline Postille is evergreen, and it's good in USDA zones 7 to 9. The flower buds of Pyrus japonica persist from fall through winter. Give this evergreen shrub moist, well-drained, acid, organic soil. In the South, site it in shade. It grows in USDA zones 4B to 7. The so-called Christmas rose is actually a hellebore, and for areas of the country where winter flowers are rarity, hellebores are a delight. These long-lived perennials love shade or dappled sun and moist organic soil. There are thousands of cultivars in a range of colors, from white and cream to pink, rose, burgundy, and light green, and it's good in USDA zones 4 to 8. Winter jasmine blooms in January, making it a great candidate for creating a midwinter color splash on retaining walls and banks. It's hardy in USDA zones 6 to 10. And the coppery orange flowers of Gelina witch hazel appear as early as January. The shrub also offers orange-red fall color. It's hardy in USDA zones 5 to 8. The red river lily, or Kaffir lily, typically blooms in fall, but you can still expect to see them reappear on mild days through midwinter. In the wild, these perennials occur in wet areas. It grows in USDA zones 6 to 9. And now from Dave's Garden website, best plants for rehumidifying your dry indoor air by Tricia Drevitz. Try growing a plant instead of plugging in a machine to add moisture to your dry air. Dry indoor air in the winter can wreak havoc with your health. Lack of moisture can cause your skin to become dry and cracked, and your eyes, mouth, and sinus passages to become dry and even painful. In addition, you may experience jolting static shocks when you touch your pets, bedding, even your television. Running a humidifier is one way to solve the problem, but growing houseplants do an effective job of replenishing moisture in the air. Since they're often varieties that thrive in humid environments, they will take in water through their roots and release moisture through the pores located on the underside of their leaves or fronds. This process is called transpiration. Several common houseplants help create a more humid atmosphere in your home. Indoor humidity should be kept between 35% and 65%. Too much moisture can create a breeding ground for bacteria, mold, and mildew. Erica, A-R-E-C-A, palm. NASA research found that Erica palm is one of the most efficient air-purifying plants, and it's an excellent humidifier. A 6-foot Erica palm will transpire nearly 1 quart water in 24 hours. Fortunately, they are also fairly low-maintenance plants. Place them in bright, filtered light to avoid leaf burn, give them plenty of water, and prune occasionally to keep them thriving. Boston fern, thought to be one of the oldest plants around. Ferns have been found as fossils. Boston fern is a reliable, easy-to-care-for houseplant. Best displayed in a hanging basket or on a pedestal, this plant needs frequent misting and watering to stay healthy, but it will reward you with added humidity in your home. Medium, indirect sunlight is best for healthy growth as well. Spider plant, one of the hardiest houseplants you can find. The spider plant grows long leaves with delicate white flowers. This trailing perennial also has a strong rate of transpiration that can help keep your air moist. Spider plants enjoy medium to bright light and like to dry out between waterings. To keep it stress-free, trim the offshoots and root them in soil or water to start a new plant. Peace lily, another flowering perennial with a high transpiration rate, the peace lily prefers medium to low sunlight, filtered, and moist but well-drained soil. Some varieties can grow up to 6 feet tall, and they produce dramatic white flowers. The peace lily also removes harmful indoor toxins from the air. Make sure to keep it out of reach of cats and dogs, as it is toxic to them if ingested. The rubber plant is a ficus variety, named for a milky white latex it yields. It tends to prefer partial sunlight and can tolerate cooler temperatures and drier soil better than most indoor tropical plants. Water this plant, which can grow up to 8 feet tall, sparingly, letting it dry between waterings for a hardy, healthy air purifier and humidifier. Chinese evergreen, with shiny green leaves covered in interesting markings, Chinese evergreen is a lovely house plant, easy to care for with low light and watering requirements, but you need to make sure the soil is well drained and variegated plants have more sunlight as needed. The Chinese evergreen is known for its abilities to purify toxins in the air and also has a high transpiration rate to help humidify the air around it. Snake plant, another hardy perennial that adds beauty and moisture to your home. It tolerates irregular watering and low light conditions, so it's actually harder for less skilled gardeners to kill with neglect. Dracaena marginata, with glossy leaves and red edges, you'd probably choose the marginata for its looks alone. However, this slow-growing plant provides a few other benefits. It removes formaldehyde and benzene from the air and filters out other toxins while creating a more humid environment for itself. The marginata prefers bright, indirect light. It will handle lower light levels, but its leaves will be thinner. Bamboo palm. The low-maintenance bamboo palm will thrive in a sunny spot while it, too, removes benzene, trichloroethylene, formaldehyde, and other toxins from the air, leaving behind clean oxygen and moisture. You can place these humidifying plants singly throughout your home or group them together to create their own humid microclimate. You can also increase their humidifying potential by adding small pebbles for two saucers underneath them and filling them with enough water cover about half the depth of the pebbles. Empty and clean the saucers frequently to prevent algae or other unwanted growth. And now from the Triangle Gardener, amaryllis, indoor color for winter. Many people shy away from growing amaryllis for the holidays, concerned that these are too thicky, and once the bloom is over, the bulb is tossed on top of the compost pile. But amaryllis are easy to grow and can be enjoyed for years in your home or garden. Growing tips. Bulbs purchased and potted now will bloom in 3 to 6 weeks. The amaryllis bulbs you buy this time of year have been prepped to bloom in winter by being kept dry and cool for a specific length of time. Before buying, make sure the bulb is firm and does not have cuts or bruises. Size matters. Larger bulbs will have larger flowers with more stalks. To get the bulb started, place it in a 6-inch container using a good quality soilless potting mix. Amaryllis bulbs like a snug pot, so do not plant them in something too large. The bulb needs only an inch of space around the widest part of the bulb. Make sure the pot has drainage holes, as amaryllis do not like wet soil. Place the bulb inside the pot so the top one-third of the bulb is above the top of the soil and the pot edge. Water the plant well after potting, but not directly on the bulb, and then only when the soil is dry. If you use a dish under the container, do not let water accumulate in it. Empty the dish after each watering. Place the pot in a warm, sunny area, and about 3 to 6 weeks you'll have a gorgeous amaryllis bouquet. Once the flowers appear, move the container to a cooler location away from the sun to help the flowers last longer. You should rotate the pot each day to help the flower spike stay straight. After the plant blooms and the flowers fade, cut the stalk back to where it emerged from the leaves. From here, you have two options. Keep the pot in a warm area of 70 to 75 degrees for about 9 to 10 months. Fertilize the bulb once a week with a liquid fertilizer or use slow-release pellets applied on the top of the potting soil. Lightly water it about once a week. Then here's the catch. 8 to 10 weeks before you want to start the bloom process, place it in a cool temperature of about 55 degrees. It needs this chill factor to bloom again. After this, put it back in a warm, sunny area. In 3 to 6 weeks, you will have flowers once again. Amaryllis are hardy in the Triangle Zone 8, so you can plant these outside in the spring to enjoy for years to come. Plant the bulbs outdoors around the middle of April, after the threat of frost, in a sunny to part sun location that has well-drained soil. Plant these in the same manner as you do in containers, with the top one-third of the bulb sticking up above soil level. Add mulch around the bulb, but do not cover the top. Now the amaryllis will bloom in the spring instead of during the holidays. Amaryllis are deer and vole resistant. While it's tempting to grow a traditional red or white amaryllis, step out of your comfort zone and look for unusual varieties like these. Gervais. This beauty has red stripes on bright to light pink petals. The individual flowers are variably colored. Each one looks a little different. Papilio, P-A-P-I-L-I-O, Latin for butterfly. Papilio has striking blooms of maroon, bronze, and cream. This rare amaryllis is slow-growing and evergreen, producing 2 to 3 dramatic blooms per stem. The bulb may not bloom the first growing season, but will multiply in the pot and bloom the following winter. Exotic peacock. This colorful variety has double red flowers with white stripes. Its fragrant flowers measure 8 to 10 inches across, and each bulb produces 1 to 2 stems with at least 4 flowers. And some events coming up. A festive holiday decorating from the garden, December the 5th, 10:30 a.m. Learn how to bring nature to your holiday decorating with ideas inspired by the garden. Socializing at 10:30, program and lunch at 11 p.m. at the Raleigh Garden Club, held at the NC State University Club. There is a fee, but it's open to all. And Plants of Distinction, Creating Winter Interest, December the 5th, 2:30 to 4. Learn about spectacular plants that offer both beauty and functionality with Mike Owens, curator of the Historic Gardens. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. Winter in the Garden Holiday Festival, December the 8th, from 5 to 9 p.m. Get away from the hustle and bustle of the season and enjoy the peaceful holiday splendor of the garden as we celebrate the end of the year with lights, holiday music, craft fair, food for purchase, kids' crafts, and good cheer. $5 is the suggested ticket price. Tickets at the door. This happens at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522. And celebrating the season, Winter Wonderland Festival, December the 9th, 1 to 4 p.m. Celebrate the season with winter-themed crafts such as paper snowflakes, pine cone bird feeders, no peanuts, experiments with light shadow, and cultural activities from around the world. Enjoy sweet treats and music with our resident snowman, Snowflake. A family event not to be missed. There is a fee. This happens at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. And a lavender holiday celebration on the farm, December the 8th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Get a glimpse of the farm when the lavender is snoozing in the field and the sweet scent of lavender prevails on the small family farm. Just one day a year, the farmhouse is open to visitors. Within the farmhouse, sample lavender goodies from the 1953 vintage Wedgwood oven. Sip lavender hot chocolate. Visit with farm hosts and lavender lovers from near and far. In the seasonally decorated farmhouse, discover local lavender items for the body, garden, gifts, kitchen, home, and weddings, too. Bring a friend, as many have made this event a holiday tradition. Attendees may even win a farm-related door prize. There is no entry fee to visit the farm. Call 919-732-5533. 919-732-5533. The farm is located in the Schley community north of Hillsboro in Hurdle Mills, North Carolina. And a Durham Garden Forum, Controlling Invasive Plants. December the 11th, 6:30 to 8 p.m. What are the invasive plants that threaten North Carolina? And how can we control these plants? Johnny Randall, Director of Conservation Programs at North Carolina Botanical Garden, discusses which plants to avoid and how to prevent problems before they begin or address them once they've happened. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707 for more information. 919-668-1707. And from the state-by-state gardening e-newsletter, an event that happens through December the 8th in Farmer, North Carolina. Wreath workshops at Tom's Creek Nursery. Learn to create beautiful holiday wreaths. Pre-register before November the 10th and save $5. For more information, visit tomscreeknursery.com or call 336-857-2131. 336-857-2131. And a Friends of the Arboretum lecture, December the 13th, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Diagnosing and solving problems. Step 1 to Garden Solutions with Frank Lells, Ph.D., Head, Department of Horticultural Science at North Carolina State University. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at the J.C. Roston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132 for more information. And from Jerry Baker's terrific garden tonics, Flower Garden Nightcap. When it's time to close up your flower beds for the season, cover the frozen ground with finely mowed grass clippings or chopped leaves. Then overspray with this nightcap to settle them in for a long winter's nap. Ingredients: 1 can of regular cola, not diet, 1 cup of baby shampoo, 1/2 cup of ammonia, 2 tablespoons of instant tea granules. Instructions: mix these ingredients in a 20-gallon hose-end sprayer and saturate the mulch blanket. This tonic feeds your mulch, which in turn will feed your garden while it protects your perennials all through the winter. And avoid the heebie-jeebies. While people prefer to bundle up at the drop of the thermometer, your plants will be much happier if you do not cover them up until after the ground freezes. Why wait so long? Because your real enemy is not chilly temperatures. It's those midwinter thaws that cause the ground to shift, resulting in root damage. Unprotected plants that are heaved out of the soil can die from exposure or may just dry out. But if you mulch soon after the ground freezes, you'll keep the ground colder, lessening the chance of heaving due to a warm spell. And ask Jerry, is it worth buying perennials at end-of-season sales? And if so, should I plant them right away or wait until spring? A late summer and fall sales are a great time for gardeners to shop till they drop. If you get them early, plant bargains can go out in the garden up to 6 weeks before the first fall frost. Keep later season purchases in a protected spot over the winter, then plant them in spring. From Grandma Putt's pointers, back when I was a boy, Grandma Putt often kept me busy sending me out to pick dead blooms out of her flower garden. She explained snipping off spent blossoms kept the plants stronger, made them bloom better, and prevented them from making unwanted seedlings. After years of doing this in my own yard, I know she was right. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.